Hey, we'll stop there. Start again. Just quickly going through the Mishnah on Tzadik Ted and Bet. At the bottom, we have the Mishnah there. Shuma Dayanim. So it says, by Dayanim, Shepechtu Shtut or Husipu Shtut, that was the assessment had a deficit or was in excess by a six. Machran Batel. Then the Mechira based on the Shuma Dayanim is invalidated. Rabbi Shimon Golomer, Machran Kayam. That it's a valid say, because if you don't say it's a valid say, okay, Makwach. Based in Yafeh. Then what's the whole point of having Beis Din be a reliable assessor if people could be able to undermine whatever Beis Din says? Well, must we Garrett Bikoret? Everybody agrees if they did a, what I would call a public sale, they did it a bid proposal. Even if there's a 50% spread, right, then Machran Kayam, Machran Kayam, that it's a valid sale and we don't undo it. Ibailahu. Shliach Kiman. Who is a shliach like? What's the din of a shliach? What type of shliach we're talking about here is subject to debate. Rashi doesn't mention anything, but he just seems to say shliach stam. Just a regular shliach. Someone makes someone an agent, you know, what's his status? Whereas Tosfot, some of the other Rishonim were talking about a shliach Beis Din. That we're talking about over here, when the shliach adds X in the capacity of a Beis Din, what's his status? All right. So Amar Rav Nachman shliach kedayonim. Shliach, an agent, has the same status of dayonim, which means that according to Chachamim, you would reverse a transaction if he was above a shtut or below a shtut. Shmuel Bar Bista Amar Rav Nachman kalmono. His din's like an almono. And therefore, they can say, even with the smallest amount, they can say that we reverse it. I mean, when the almana acted on behalf of the Yisomim, even if she'd sold a field worth 101 for 100, we're able to reverse the transaction. You don't have to wait for a shtus.
So I was saying, like, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he's saying that it's kayam?
No, not necessarily. You could even be holding like a chamim, that you have a shtus. You have up to a sixth. I mean, that if you think it's an almana, then an almana has no room. That means if she makes the smallest mistake, we reverse her transaction. I mean, in a case where she sold the field 101 for 100, we reverse her transaction. That's less than a sixth, yet we reverse her transaction. Beis Din has at least a sixth, according to the Hanukkah, according to Shimon Gamliel, they have much more than that. There was a Tosafot earlier on that talks about that it's only up to 50%. There's no one knows, like by Karkos. You can only say ain't no about Karkos. You can only say there's a mistake up to 50% of the value. That's why the examples of the mission over here, yeah. If you sell a field for 200 for 100, I mean that there is a limit to how far we say that you can be off, but up to 50% is considered a valid differential. Rav Amar Rav Nachman Shliach Kedayonim, my Dayonim lav did who? Av Shliach Nami lav didday. Right? Just like the Dayonim are not doing it on their, you know, on their own behalf, so too, a Shliach is not doing it for his own benefit. Afuk Almana didida. As opposed to an almana who is getting personal benefit from the sale, meaning she's getting her either ksuba or getting her mizonos, no matter what she's selling. Rav Shmuel Bar Bit, so she would have more of a reason to sell the property either at a discount or at the wrong price just because she wants her money out versus a shliach or a dayan who is an independent party and therefore maybe would look out for the best interests of their sender. Shmuel Bar Bisna Amar Rav Nachman Kelmona, Ma Almano Yechida Av Shliach Yechid. Just like an almana is an individual working, so too a shliach is an individual working. Lafuke based in the rabbim who has based in are at least three, but they are by definition of having more, but less likely to make a mistake. Hilchasa shliach kalmana. The loch is that a shliach is like an almana. Maishno mehaditznan. Why is this different than our mishnah? We quoted this mishnah yesterday, but the mishnah by Trumos. Omer l'shluchut zevet rom. But he says to his agent, go out and take chuma for me, torim kedat balabait. Then he has to take chuma like the balabais would. Many of the da tosho balabites, if he doesn't know what the balabites would have done, then torim bebenunit. He can he's torim in the middle range, which was 1/50, 2%. That's what he took chuma. Echad mechamishim. Pichet asara osifasara. If he did 1/40th or 1/60th, chumato chuma, then his chuma is still considered a good truma. So over here we see what he's making a mistake that is greater than, I mean, well, than an amana's mistake. Amana's mistake, any mistake we reverse. But over here you have an agent who's acting to take off truma, And when he's going to take off Truma, he makes a mistake of between, you know, 1/50th to 1/60th or 1/50th to 1/40th. And there we don't reverse his agency. So Hatam came into Ika Detorim Bein Ayin Rov, Ika Detorim Bein Yofeh, Ladahachi Am Detich. So since those are standards of taking off Truma, since 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th are all measurements the Chachamim gave, the agent can say, I assessed you at that point, you know, in that at that level of giving Truma. Here it's just literally a mistake. Here you can't say, over there he can make a valid claim that it's what I assessed you at. He has there are already preset bands in which people give Truma. And therefore he can say, I assessed you within those preset bands. But over here, when you're selling a field, when an agent is acting and making a mistake, it's not like there's a preset price, and therefore he's, you know, but he's deviating from what should have been the market price. Alright, we're not talking about, I'm sorry,
you shouldn't have made a mistake.
What?
You shouldn't have made a mistake.
Right, I'm sorry. I'm a lay. Right. Bakatzedim loy bachlamita. I didn't need you to make a mistake here. I mean, I didn't send you to make a mistake for me. You know, as opposed to by the truma, where he sent to take truma, he took it off like one of the standard ranges.
The mistake was made in a higher level. I put it in this category. Therefore, I was right. Here, the mistake is.
Here, he doesn't have any basis for his mistake. All right.
So, you know, with the shliach up till, you know, my understanding was that, you know, shliach is essentially the person themselves.
He's an agent of the person, right?
Yeah. So they're much more like the almana, but here what we're demonstrating is that actually within some type of parameters they can actually make decisions for themselves and judging the person that they're slightly stingy, but that still doesn't compare them to a beis din, which can make even bigger.
Right.
Really has in mind that they're
right. Exactly. A beis din can make a mistake. According to our mission, can make a mistake up to 50% of the value.
Yeah.
And they can make huge mistakes. And that's what the Gemara's conclusion at this point was shlech ke almana, right? The shlech is like an almana where they can't make any mistake because of the agent of the individual. They act on the individual's behalf. There'll be certain exceptions, like by truma, where they're preset bands, which they have to act within those bands. But if they act within those bands, the sender can't say you didn't do what I wanted, because if you didn't specify, then he has a right to act. He has a certain amount of freedom within those bands to work with. All right, vaha. Amar Rav Huna bar Chanina, Amar Rav Nachman, Alocha kedivrei Chachamim. Alocha in our Mishnah is like the Chachamim, meaning that you can't, right, up to a Shtus, if they move by a Shtus, then they're out, as opposed to Rav Shimon Gamliel says that there is no mistakes by Beis Din. Alocha kedivrei Chachamim. Leis le Rav Nachman, makoch baz din yofeh. Doesn't Rav Nachman, so again, Rav Nachman was a big dayan here, doesn't he hold a makoch baz din yofeh? Don't we want to preserve the integrity of Beis Din? I mean, that even though there's a mistake here, there's maybe a higher value that we want to protect Beis Din, because otherwise we'll undermine Beis Din's authority. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, then we have a position from Rav. You told me Shabbalach Lok B'nitzei Avihim, you told me come to split their father's property, Beis Din Ma'amid and Lehem Apitropus. That the Beis Din assigns each Yotom, each one of the Yotomim gets a executor for his estate, and they pick a nice pot for them. I mean, they pick the best that's in their best interest. Higdilu, once they become gedolim, yicholim limchos, they can reject that which the executors did. So Rav Nachman di Deyamar, that's a Rav Nachman quote in the name of Shmuel, but Rav Nachman says, Higdilu en yicholim limchos, once they get to become gedolim, they cannot reverse this. Why? Well, otherwise, what's the whole point of setting up executors to help them out, if in the end they can just reverse what the executor's in, and then the Beis Din, again, undermining the authority of the Beis Din, the fact that if a Ma'asim of Beis Din can be reversed, then people will extrapolate that to other Ma'asim of Beis Din. So we said above here that Rav Nachman's paskening like the Chachamim in our Mishnah, that disagrees with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and doesn't say Ma'koch Beis Din Yofeh, and yet, in the case of the Yisomim, where they appoint executors for each of the Yisomim, there he does invoke Ma'koch Beis Din Yofeh. So Gemara says, Lokasho, these are different cases. Hadatahu, Hadalotahu. What are you talking about here? One is a mistake, and one is didn't make a mistake. In our mission, he made a mistake, but he didn't make a mistake. Somewhere it says, Hilotahu, but my yicholim limchos. So what's the whole point? I mean, right, if by the Yisomim there was no mistake, why would they want to change it? Somewhere it says, Beruchot. No, he did a good job. He picked them a good value. He did a good job taking care of him, except what? He picked the wrong plot for him. There are four Yisomim, and there are four plots that are out there. He picked for him a good plot, except that this Yosam managed to buy property in another place, or he owned property in another place, and he wants to have his property be
adjacent,
and therefore he has an added value by not having this property but another one of his father's properties, or for whatever other reason. He moves, he marries a woman from that neighborhood, whatever the reason is, that now makes it for him to be more efficacious to have a property or a different one of those properties. So nevertheless, Rav Nachman over there says, you can't reverse it. In that when the executor acted in the best interest of the Yotam at that time, and that he took care of him, even though maybe there were other exogenous variables that affected it that he wasn't aware of, meaning that he wanted a certain location, he wanted certain boundaries, he wanted certain friends near him, that he can't go back and reverse. That's what Rav Nachman says. That the Rav Dimi came, he said that Rabbi acted like the Chachamim. Amar lafana Prato, b'no shel Rabbi Elazar ben Prato. So Prato, the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Prato, ben b'no shel Rabbi Prato Gadol, the grandson of Rabbi Prato Ha Gadol. No, I'm assuming that you could read ben b'no shel Rabbi Prato Gadol, right? It's unclear what that's modifying, right? It could be modifying the first Prato, which means that Rabbi Elazar ben Prato, who is the second Prato that we mentioned in that name, is Rabbi Prato Gadol. Or you could say that there are three Pratos. There's a Prato that we're quoting over here. He's the grandson of Prato, who's also the grandson of Rabbi Prato Gadol. It's not clear to me. Tosfos talks about it at the bottom, but it's not clear to me who is. I'm not even sure what Tosfos says, to be honest with you, which one he's saying it's modifying, but it seems to me that it might be that there are three Pratos over here. Okay, MK, if that's the case, where it says, Ma koach bezin yofet, Rav Prato says, if Rebbe, you're going to undermine the Shulma Beis Din, then what if my koach bezin yofet? Because Rebbe et amase. And Rebbe reversed his, or reversed the position then. Rav Dimi matni hochi, that's where Rav Dimi learns. Rav Safra matni hochi, Rav Safra says, this was the case. Ma'ase vikesh Rebbe lasuk divrei chachamim. That he wanted, not that he did like the Chachamim, but he wanted to do like the Chachamim. Prata b'noshu Rabbi Elazar ben Prata, ben b'noshu Rabbi Prata Gadol. Imkei ma koch vozden yofe. What's the, right? What's the point of Bezin law? So Rebbe et amas, and therefore Rebbe did not act on it. So we see that Rebbe wanted to act like Chachamim, and nevertheless was not willing to in the face of the issues of ma koch vozden yofe. All right, it's Rashi. This is just an interesting line in Rashi here, because in general, right, we only say that you reverse something when it's a tov b'devar mishnah. You have to make a mistake in a devar mishnah, which means it has to be an explicit mishnah. If you make a mistake with an explicit mishnah, then we reverse the transaction. Otherwise, the transaction stands, and the dayon has to pay out of his house. So Rashi says here, why is this considered a devar mishnah? Right. So if you look in Rashi, there's a Rashi in Lema Baha Plige. If you see on the side by Mesoras Hashas, it says La'el Tzadi Tedem Aben. In the middle of that Rashi, it says V'hai. The line starts V'hai. V'hai Nami Dvar Mishnahu. This is a Dvar Mishnah. Sha'afo Pi Shenechaku Chachamim Al Rabbi Shimon. Even though Chachamim in our Mishnah argue on Rabbi Shimon, so how can you say it's a mistake in the Dvar Mishnah if we have an explicit machloket about this issue? He says because Harei Natan Tam L'Dvarav. Rabbi Shimon explained his position. So the fact that Rabbi Shimon explained his position, that gives him the status of Dvar Mishnah. That if you make a mistake and don't pass on like Rabbi Shimon, that would be considered Tav Dvar Mishnah. It's a very interesting nuance in Tav Dvar Mishnah. Alright, so now the Gemara continues. Lema b'hakam iflagay. Maybe this is what they're arguing about. Mar Sava Tav Dvar Mishnah Choser. Mar Sava Ein Choser. The story between Rav Dimi and Rav Safra. Why did Rav Dimi say the action already took place and Rebbe reversed it? Because Rav Safra says that Rebbe never acted on it. That's because that was their mistake. One of them believed that it was a Tav Dvar Mishnah, therefore he could reverse it. That was Rav Dimi, whereas Rav Safra believes he couldn't reverse it once it was in effect, and therefore he says they caught him before he acted on it. Well, the Kuleyama Tavut Dvar Mishma Choser. Everybody holds that if you make a mistake with a Mishnah, you go back. That was the Mesorah they had about what happened. Not that this is a halachic argument about why their stories are different. Their stories are different because practically they got different stories or they heard the story differently. Right. Amar Rav Yosef. Armaloso desvina achrayos ayatnes. This is something we saw earlier, right, on Tzadik Vav. That what? When the widow acts on behalf of the Yisomim, the estate sells property for her mizonos, or sells property for her ksuba, the achrayos, right, the recourse goes to the Yisomim. Right, Ubezin desvina achrayos ayatnes. Again, Ubezin acts on the estate to act on the estate, then the achrayos, the recourse is on the Yotomim. So therefore, if the property, if somehow they sell it and the property gets taken away from the buyer for some reason, then they come back to the Yotomim to make their claim. Pshita. So Gemara says, of course. I mean, why would it be? Why would you have thought otherwise? So Gemara says, Almono lo yitztrichle. Well, we don't need. By Almono, it's clear that the Achrayas is going to go back onto the Yotomim. Ki yitztrichle beidina. What I need that for is the Beisdin. What would I have thought? Called the Zavin mi beidina. I would have thought when it's sold in Beis Din is already a public forum for selling. And when it's done in a public forum, then the person assumes that anybody who had any claims on this land would have showed up at that point in time. Because once it's made public and nobody makes an objection there, his assumption is that he's buying free and clear property. By the fact that Beis Din is the seller. So you would have thought, what? There is no recourse. In these types of cases, there is no recourse on the Yisomim because the only reason to have recourse is because somebody will show up. If they were going to show up, they would have showed up already, and that's his assumption in buying. Kamash Malon, that even though that is might be the case, we still say that there is achrayos, there still is recourse to the Yisomim. That's the chiddush of our statement over here. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Makoch Beis Niyoved, Ve'ad Kamo. Until how much do we say that Beis Din can make a mistake? Samravuna bar Yudam Rav Sheshes ad palgal, until a half. So 50%, they can make a mistake up to 50%. Tani Nami Hochri of a Bryce that says similarly, Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, Beis Din Shmachru Shavaman Matayim B'mano Shavaman B'matayim Machron Kayam. So if you sell 200 with 100 or 100 with by 200, in each of those cases, it's a valid sale. Amar Meimar Mishmed Rav Yosef, Beis Din Shemachu Belo Achrozo Nasuk Mishito B'Dvar Mishnah V'Chozrim. Beis Din sells without making a public announcement about the sale, without making it a public auction, it's as if they made a mistake in a Dvar Mishnah, and therefore you reverse it. Meaning that it's an explicit Mishnah, but when Beis Din goes to sell, they must sell in a public auction.
Our Mishnah says the opposite.
Excellent. So Mary says, Dvar Mishnah v'chozrin. Nasu vaday. To. Because it's, Nasu vaday to. Meaning that, why do you have to say Nasu k'misha dvar Mishnah, right? That means vaday to. They definitely made a mistake. Just because they make a chrozo, that means they made a mistake for sure. So the Gemara doesn't answer it. It's not. We have a, Mishnah, Shuma Yisomim Shloshim Yom. When you're selling out the estate for Yisomim, you announce for 30 days. Shuma Ekdei Shishim Yom. For Ekdei, you do it 60 days. Machrizim Bavoka Be'erev. And you give announcements in the morning and the night. So Mar says, Email Yavimina Hani Mili Shliach. Well, Beis Din Lo. I would have thought that was only by a Shliach. Right? Aval Beis Din, no. That even Beis Din won't have to reverse it. Kamash Mulan. That what? That even by a Beis Din, you need a explicit announcement or public auction in order to make it. So I'm sorry. So the Gemara quotes and says that it's Tobit Bar Mishnah. Kemit Shet Tobit Mishnah. It's if they were Tobit Bar Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, Nasu Vaday Tobit. What do you mean? It's as if they did make a mistake in a Mishnah. The Mishnah explicitly says that it's Achraza. Has to do as Achraza. Yeah. So the Gemara answers up, what? That the Mishnah you would have thought was only talking about a shliach Beis Din, but when it's actually Beis Din themselves, that wouldn't be considered a mistake. That's as if they made a mistake. Still, even in the Dvar Mishnah, you can reverse it. So now, Eitve Ravash Le Meimar. So now, Ravash Yeska Meimar, your question, Yossi. Shuma Doyonim, Shepichtu Shtus Otiru Shtus, Michron Bato. Ha Shova Bishova, had they done it equally, had they not made a mistake, Michron Kayam, then the Michron is going to come, even without a Achrozo. My love, the Lo Achruz. Must be a case. What's the first case in a Mishnah when they didn't make an Achrozo? I mean,
even up to Shtus.
But I say, I explained the Mishnah that way, so that's why you're asking it. But now the Gemara says, lo b'da Achruz. No, it's in a case, right, a case where they did make a public announcement. If they made a public announcement. Hamid is safer, but Achruz, Hamid Rashid, but Achruz. What are you going to do with the second half? The Mishnah said, Shum, and then it said, Bikores, right? The two stages of the Mishnah. So if the second stage of the Mishnah is about a public auction, then the first stage, right? Then the first case must be a case where there was no auction, public auction. Tani Seifa, you must so you get it bikoret. Afilu machu shavim money b'matayim, or shavim matayim b'money mechon kayim. Eliolam, it must be below achros. That the first case in our Mishnah, the race in our Mishnah is where they did not make a public announcement. Lo kasha. Ah, so how do you explain the difference between our Mishnah over here and the statement of a Meimar who says that if they don't make a public auction, it's a failure? So it says, "Kam b'dvarim she'machriz nalem, kam b'dvarim she'machriz nalem." There are certain items that you do make public auctions for. There are certain items that you do not make public auctions for. What are items that you do not make public auctions for? Havadim v'metaltalim v'ashtaros. By servants, we don't make them because we're afraid they're going to run away when they find out they're being sold. They're going to take off. V'metaltalim, we're worried about by metaltalim, if they make a public auction for them, they'll be stolen or they'll be taken. That when the buyers come to look at them, somebody will pocket it or take it. Right, and ashtaros, we're afraid that somebody will come and either take, again, I probably take the shtar. It's something that's a movable item, something that people can, what? Walk off with in these cases. Avadim, my time am I. What's the problem with Avadim? Shemi yishme uvi yivrochu, right? That they'll hear about it and they'll run away. Tatlim shtar, shemi yignivu, right? Maybe they'll be stolen because they're movable property. So that's one possibility. Ibai, same other difference is, kabishah shemachrizin, kabishah shemachrizin. Depends. There's certain times when we do make public auctions and times when we do not make public auctions. When do we not make public auctions? We had this gemara earlier. That when it has to come to paying off items that need to be done expeditiously, right? We need them because there's a need, an immediate need. Then we don't make an achrasta. We don't go through the process of making a public auction because it would take too much time, and we let them sell even without a public auction, which is for cargo. That's to pay off the Google's the head tax, right? The mizone for food for the almana and for the benos, you know, the girls, the kvura, or to bury the woman. In each of these instances, we do not mazvenina and b'lach rasta. We sell them without a public auction because it's a there's a need, immediate need for the money, and we don't want to wait to get the money through the
balad. Same thing you do without achrasa. You have up to shtus. Anything you do achrasa, you can deviate. You know, if you don't do achrasa, you have even if you're on the money, it's a
mikhra. If you're supposed to do achrasa,
you don't do it. Even if you're on the money, it's
even if you do the right thing,
if you're
it's a failure.
If you're not supposed to do achrasa, then you could be off a shtus.
Right. Or if you did achrasa, right, then you can be up to 50%, right?
If you did achrasa,
right. All right, Ibai Zeimakam, Makum Shemachrizin, right, the difference is that there were certain places that didn't have public auctions, other places that did, meaning it was dependent on the basin itself. The Amar of Nachman, Olam Lasu Ger Bikorit, but Narado. Rav Nachman says that was not the minog in Narado to do Ikerit Bikorit, to do achrasa, to do public auctions in Narado. Sovereign, they thought Mishum to Bikiye Bishuma. The reason that people thought that in Nardo they didn't do public auctions is because they were expert assessors. And therefore they didn't make mistakes. In general, they didn't make mistakes in assessing properties, and therefore they didn't need to go to public auctions. So I'm Rabbi Yosef, Bernim Numeli, Dimon Farshali, Mine the Rav Nachman. I was explained why the statement of Rav Nachman, why they did not do public auctions in Nardo. Mishum to Karlahu, Bnei Achle, Nixay, Dachrasto. Because they were professional assessors, they were professional bottom fishers. They used to know that when these types of properties went up for sale, they were usually sold at a discount because there was a rushed sale. They were under pressure to sell them. And they used to come to these public auctions and try to pick off the property at cheaper prices. So that's why they didn't want to make these public auctions anymore, because people became aware, and then they, I don't know if they colluded or they would bid lower on these types of property knowing that there was a pressure to sell these properties.
It's so anti-capitalist.
What?
That's the real... negates the concept of a free market.
In some senses, but here they're under... Meaning that they're under pressure to sell. They're under pressure to sell.
I think there's no sort of... Taken today, there's no antitrust rule. You know what I'm saying? So the opposite. That's what made it not fair that they could... You know what I'm saying? It wasn't
fair balance. Either they could collude, that's one. Or number two is that free markets work, right, when...
Everything's fair.
Right, everything's fair. In this case, somebody's under pressure to sell, right, because of outside variables. And that sometimes happens in, the whole point of bankruptcy is to slow that. Like, if you have to, in a liquidation, then you would, if you were forcing companies to liquidate, they'd sell properties off, they'd sell off assets at significant discounts, right, to fulfill their obligations. Filing for bankruptcy allows them time to set it up and order it out and sell it over in an orderly process, which means that all the creditors benefit in a way that it's sold in an orderly process. So I think the same thing here. The point is to create an orderly process. Here, by not having a public auction, it was a more orderly process, and therefore it benefited the creditors. So
it's funny, all these answers, none of them has any mamashos in the achrasa. Nonetheless, if you're supposed to achrasa and you're into achrasa, even if it was on the money, it's batel, which is a little strange, because it all seems that the rule here is to, you know, service us and make sure you get the best price. So now like right. Some
but I also, but I also think that the other way around, that Beis Din sets the standard for how things are done. And if it's done without a chreza one time,
then you have the money, it means it's going to.
Then it's going to. Right. Then people are going to say, "Oh, you don't need a chreza by these types of things." Right.
So, it's more of a.
It's a ma'isa Beis Din.
Yeah,
the same reason we say makoch Beis Din yofe. We don't want to reverse the ma'isa Beis Din because it'll undermine the authority of Beis Din. We don't want to have Beis Din doing things where that's not the right way to do it, because in the future, either other Beis Dins or it'll be done that way in the future, and that's going to be a problem also. All right. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Metaltelin Sheyasomim, Shemen Otan, Umochin Otan. You assess them and you sell them la'alter. Rav Chista Amar Avimi, Mochin Otan L'Shvakim. We sell them out into the open shuk. Hello, Piggy. They don't argue. Had the mikra of shuka, had the mirchok shuka. Depends where the either here you can either say physical distance or time distance. I mean, it depends. Is it if do they live in an area where it's easy to get to a open market, or are we on a day? Right, we're on a day where there's an open market to sell this stuff or not. He had in his hands the beer of Mesharshia Bar Chilai, Yatma Shia Adrikla of the Yisomim, Shia Adrikla. He waited until the regal. So Amar Apagal the Nafal Bay Itzita, even though the quality of the beer would deteriorate over that time, it still would fetch a better price. So he says, now, if I sold it today, even though the quality of the beer would be higher today, I would realize more profits for them by waiting until the regel, even though the quality of the beer would deteriorate, because during the regel, everybody wants beer, and therefore it's easier, the demand is high, and it's easier to sell it at a better price. So it's basically a demand and supply situation, that the quality, deterioration in quality would not have them lose, it would actually increase their value because of the time that they waited. Ravina Abiyade Bichamra de Ravina Zute Yatma. Here the Ravina had in his hands the wine of Ravina Zute Bar Achte Havaludide Nami Chamra. His nephew was also had wine that he wanted to sell. Have a kamasikle the Sichra. He was going to go to Sichra. You get on a boat and go out to Sichra to go sell it. I mean that he was going to make a trip. He was doing a business trip to go sell it. So after the coming to Ravashi, can I throw in their wine along with his wine? Meaning that he's going to have to sell it and it's going to go to a place where it sells better pricing. Can I have him take the wine as well? What are they afraid of? They're afraid of that the boat might sink and then he'll lose everything for the assailment. I mean that he's taking a risk. But he can either sell it here, on the open market here. He'll realize a lower value, but what, it's a vada. He knows he can get the money, even though it's at a lower value. Or, if he sends him with this business guy, right, this individual, his nephew, who's going out on business, he'll realize a much higher value, but there is risk. It's not without risk. So, right? He says...
Good for you.
What?
It was good for you, it was good for you.
Right. There's nobody better than you, meaning that... If you're willing to take that risk, or your nephew's willing to take the risk, he's a good businessman, then
good
it's good for the Yisomim as well. I mean, that's a, I don't know what you say, that's a valid business risk to take to get the full value.
How do you explain that those words, zil, lo adif mididuch, go?
Right, zil, lo adif.
It's not better than your having done it, right?
Right, lo adif mididuch, it's not better than you. There's either you can read it. Either you can read it.
Don't do
it.
What? It sounds like he's saying, look, what he's going to do isn't any better than what you could do here. That's the way it sounds.
Oh, no, I thought lo didaf mididach, that you wouldn't you send your own wine with him? I mean, either lo didaf mididach, there's nobody better than you. I mean that either there's nobody who does this. You mean that there's nobody who would do it better than his nephew, or lo didaf mididach, that means that it's no better than yours. That why would you, wouldn't you send your own wine with your nephew to sell it?
Why would you be more zahir with their wine than your wine?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that lo didaf mididach. You would send, if you had your own wine, you would send it with him even though there was a risk involved. So why not send their wine even though there's a risk involved? I mean, I think the answer is that it's a valid business risk. If you're taking excess risk, then we would say that it's not worthwhile to make that decision. Would you send your wine? He'd say, nah, you know, it's a little scary for me to send my wine. If that was the case, don't send their wine. But if you would do it for yourself, if you'd make your own decisions like this, then... All right, Mishnah, new Mishnah. You know what? I think maybe we'll stop here because it's a big sugya coming up. All right, you know what? We'll read the Mishnah and then we'll stop it after the Mishnah, okay? All right, Hamema Enet. These are someone who rejects a marriage. Ashnia meaning Shnia Learayus, right? Vailonit. And a woman who is unable to give birth, unable to have children. In each of the cases, we have what? An invalid marriage. Right? Invalid marriage, a marriage that took place. So the Kedushin were Tovsin in some way in this case, but the marriage is invalidated for whatever, either because we cover there was a problem, like Vishnia Learayus, or Eloinist, which is Lamafre, we realize that there's a problem here. Amlam Ksuba, they don't get Ksuba, lo Peros, not the Peros, lo Mizonos, and not, meaning that they don't get back the Peros that the Baal had, lo Mizonos, they're not entitled to Mizonot, lo Blaot, and not the worn down property that she brought in. Meaning if say look or jackets or things that she brought in that her husband's entitled to use during the time and they give the blowout. If he knew up front that she was an Ilonit, then she has a ksuba because then he can't make a claim that it was a kedushei tos because he accepted the status quo. Again, these are invalid marriages that the kedushin are possibly tosin in them if they're not what? If it's not Rabbi Akiva. So in these cases, Mamzer Vinitina Li Israel, Bat Israel Vilanotin Ul Mamzer Yeshlan Ktuba. In all of these cases, there is a Ksuba. Alright, so you have to deal with why, what's this different than Shnei Learayus, right? One's the Rabbanan, one's the Oraisa. So you can see how it's developing, but we'll get into this tomorrow.
Jesus arose there.